Amen. You know, Hebrews has been a great study. Amen. I mean, we've learned so much. Well, you know, as it started out there in chapter 1, remember, it said, in these last days, God says, in these last days, God has spoken to us, the Jewish believers of that day, and to every generation, and we are a generation, spoken unto us by His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen? And, you know, we've learned that Jesus is better. Well, we knew that, but I mean, we know He's better than anything. He's better than the prophets, we've learned. He's better than the angels. He's better than Joshua. He's better than Moses. He is better than the Levitical priesthood. He's better than all of the sacrifices. He is the mediator of a better covenant based on better promises. He is our great high priest. He purged our sins, and He is seated right now at the right hand of majesty upon high. Amen. And He ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. Our Savior is alive. He's the head of the church, and He is the sole head of the entire universe. Amen? Amen. That's right. And we are His children. We belong to Him. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This morning, how important this chapter. Listen, we left off a couple of weeks ago, and thank you for that wonderful break. It was just great, and we had a great time. Man, two wonderful services last Sunday in Amarillo. Great church there. Love the pastor. But we left off a couple of Sundays back, I guess, in chapter 10, verse 38 and verse 39, and which now, as we look at that, is the remaining theme for this incredible letter, Hebrews, okay? So let's start this morning there. It says in verse 38 of chapter 10, it says, the just. What does that mean, just? It means those that are in Christ Jesus. Those that have been have received Christ's righteousness because they believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? Those that God looks at and says, now that you are in my Son, you are just as if you had never sinned. Amen? So those are people who are saved. Are we the just? All right, now listen very carefully. It says, the just shall live. Live is a big word. No, it's a huge word. Do you really want to live? Come on, you can talk to me. Really live in this, in the rest of your life, in this generation. Do you really want to live the adventure? Well, it tells us how right there. It says, the just shall live by faith. There is no other way for a Christian to live. That's the title of this message, by the way. The just shall live and by faith. That's the only way that pleases God. And a believer can live, you can live another way, but that's not the way God wants you to live. So He's here, it says, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, meaning draws back from faith, from not trusting God, it says, God says, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we, meaning the Jewish believers of the first century who've left Judaism and now trust Jesus Christ as their Messiah, but we are not of those who draw back, meaning drawing back from faith or going back to the temple sacrifices, the blood of bull and goats. We're not those who draw back to perdition, but we are those who what? Believe, meaning by faith. We believe to the saving of the soul. The just shall live by faith. Those who are Christians, there's no other way for a Christian to live except by faith, because that's the only thing that pleases God, and we know that. Chapter 11 that we're in is the largest treatment, if you will, of faith in the entire New Testament. Matter of fact, Warren Wiersbe, who is now home in heaven, he said this, that faith is the greatest power in the entire universe. So 18 times in this chapter, you're going to hear two words, by faith, and 24 times in these 40 verses, you're going to hear the word faith. So that is a huge, huge word. Now, this letter written by who I believe to be the Apostle Paul, it's concerned not only with the Jewish believers of the first century, okay, that are now trusting Christ Jesus, but this letter that Paul wrote, it says it was a letter of encouragement, Hebrews 13, 22, a letter of comfort, a letter to encourage you to keep running the race. And how do we run the race of faith? There's only one way. Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Are y'all with me? Okay, very important. So chapter 11 does something. It gives us all these great examples of the Old Testament saints and so forth, who, man, they serve the Lord, they love the Lord, and no matter the consequence, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial, the persecution, they remained steadfast. They didn't fall apart, and the reason is they all live by faith. Faith is one of the most important words in the Bible. Are we saved by faith? Do we walk by faith? Absolutely, loved ones, so important. Now listen, first, what faith isn't? Faith is not like faith in your faith, okay? It's not a force. It's not mental assent. It's not repetitive confessionism, as you some of the other camps do and so forth. So we have to be careful. There's a lot of false teaching about what faith is. Faith is what pleases God. It's not maybe what pleases us. Sometimes God calls us to do things we might not like. Amen? Okay, but we do it by faith because we believe God. Loved one, listen, you know, the old name it, claim it, grab it, slam it, whatever you call that movement, that's over with, really. You know what I'm saying? Or I guess it's over with. I don't keep up with anybody. I don't know. But I do know this. There's a lot of false teaching concerning faith today, and we have to be careful, loved one. You know, it's one thing that for a Christian to memorize Scripture. It's wonderful to quote Scripture. But it does you no good if you don't believe the Scripture that you're quoting. Amen? It doesn't do any good at all. So listen, we have to be careful, and that's why I always encourage believers, listen, be careful what you listen to on TV. You know what I mean? If you have enough faith, you'll be rich. If you have enough faith, you can send in that $100,000 to me and I'll be rich. You'll be poor. Do you understand me? Or you'll never be sick, you know, but by faith, you're healed and believe it and so forth. Listen, there's a lot of false teaching. I'll never forget when I was on the board there at Cook Children's Hospital all those many, many years ago, I was in the elevator, and when I entered the elevator, there was a young couple there in the elevator, and they were weeping. And I said, guys, can I pray with you? I mean, is there anything, what's going on? And they said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. Are you a pastor? I said, yes. I said, we don't want to even talk to you. I said, well, what's wrong? And she said, my baby just died. And the pastor was in the room with me when the baby died. And he turned and looked at me and said, woman, if you and your husband had enough faith, your baby would not have died. You hear me? In other words, Mark 11:24, where Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have him. And the pastor told him, said, see, you shall have him, but you didn't believe. That's why you didn't receive. That's why your baby died. And I said, can I go up and punch him for you? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we have to be careful with all of that. So beginning now, the just shall live by faith. Listen very carefully. Verse 1 is not a definition of faith, and that's very important. It's not a definition, but what it is, loved one, it's a description of what faith does or how faith works. Now look at it. We all know this scripture. We all know Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance, say that word, substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence, say that word, evidence of things not seen. That is a very powerful verse. Amen? So when it says right there, it says that faith is the substance. What is the substance? Because that word means assurance. That word means not only the assurance, the word can even be translated that faith is the title deed of things hoped for, meaning the promises of God. The title deed, meaning you own that because you are a child of God, but you claim it by faith. Does that make sense? Everything that we do in our life, we appropriate by faith in God. Amen? That's how we live. We don't live any other way. We live only by faith in what God has said because God can't lie. So faith is that assurance, the title deed of the things hoped for, and that word also means foundation. So what is the foundation of our faith? It's God's word. Amen? Whatever God has said in his word, that is the substance. Those are the things that we believe in because our faith has an object. Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. God is the object of our faith and his promises. Amen? God can't lie. So we trust the Lord. If your faith doesn't rest on the word of God, it's not biblical faith. Amen? Very important. Now, look at it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And now it says faith is something else. It's the evidence or the proof or the conviction of the things not seen. And so that's very important. See, the evidence or that conviction or that proof means you are convicted in your heart that God's word is true. And any time we are convinced or there's conviction, it means that that requires action on your part. Does that make sense? Amen? Oh, gosh, are you guys with me? Have I been gone 2 weeks and you don't love me? What is it? No. No, loved one, listen, this is very, very important this morning. It means this, that evidence is we live out what we believe because God said it. We live it out by the power of the Holy Spirit because we're convinced. So faith is the evidence of things not seen, which means this. Our faith is never based on our senses, what we see or feel or think and so forth. No, all the evidence that we need, all the proof that we need is the Word of God. Amen? Because God's Word is true. Let me tell you something about our senses. Will your senses lie to you? Yes. Hello. But God can't lie. Titus 1:2. Do you know, we look around and we think, oh, wow, you look at those circumstances. Well, circumstances, do they change all the time? Does God change? He never changes. Malachi 3:6, Hebrews 13:8. God never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today forever. So faith, loved one, faith does something. Faith sees the invisible because it believes. It knows because the Bible tells us. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by our senses, our sight, what we see. We don't look at our circumstances. We look at God. So faith sees the invisible, if you will. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 and following, you remember when Elisha and his servant, they were there surrounded. They were in the valley and all those hills, and around on all the hills was the Syrian army. And the servant looks up and says to Elijah, says, oh, master, alas, what are we going to do? Look at all the troops, all the army, we're surrounded and so forth. And you know what Elijah did? Let me read it to you. He says, the servant says, what shall we do? And so Elijah answered, oh, don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, if I'd have been that servant, I'd looked at Elijah and I said, I don't see a thing. You say we're surrounded, there's more people with us than those up there. Do you see the thousands of soldiers around upon the hill? And he says, no, listen. He says, don't fear, there are more with us than those who are against us. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now, was Elisha's servant blind? No, he wasn't blind. He said, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. He saw. What did he? Listen, he, in other words, through the eye of faith, he saw the unseen, if you will. Amen? Because something happened. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, did you know that right now you don't see anything here? I mean, if you do, we can talk later. But do you see angels? They're right there by you. They came in with you. You have, I believe, the guardian angels. Amen? Listen, we're not alone. This is not true reality. This world is passing away, loved one. See, what is unseen? Faith. Faith is the requirement for everything. Listen, how do you know Jesus is even real? Have you seen him lately? Well, yes, you have. The eye of faith. Whom have not seen, Peter says, you love. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given unto you. You have the love of God in you because you're born from above, right? How do you know that heaven is real? The Bible tells me it's real. How do you know when you sin? And you go to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I've sinned. He says, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. You see, how do, well, that's faith. That's what faith is. How do you know Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of God? The Bible tells us that. How do you know the blood has cleansed us from sin? The Bible tells us that. All sin, by the way. Loved one, listen. Man, that prayer needs to be our prayer, the prayer of Elijah. Calvary, open our eyes. God, please open our eyes. Not in the natural realm, but let us see the unseen. Amen. Let us believe the promises of God. See, the world says every day, well, seeing is believing. God's word, the Bible says, believing is seeing. Amen. Believing is seeing. Faith is seeing. In other words, through the eye of faith. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul writes, while we do not look at the things which are seen. We all, you know, we have circumstances and we look at those. And circumstances mean the things that surround you, okay? And you look at them and but that's temporary. They're not going to stay. God knows what he's doing. He's for us, amen? He says, so we don't look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Man, our faith is not in this world that is passing away. You know why Paul could say that? Paul could say that because he was consumed with what he could not see. He was consumed with the invisible. The invisible was more real to Paul than what he could see. Amen? And that's the way we need to be as well, loved one. So it says the evidence, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You're in chapter 11. Look at verse 7 with me. What great faith. It says in verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things, what does it say? Not seen. Divinely warned by God of things not seen, moved with godly fear. He was convicted. He moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, which he condemned the world, became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now listen, that is one of the greatest acts of faith in the Bible. Amen? Think about it. I mean, you know the story. I don't need to go. Had Abraham, had Noah ever seen an ark? Mario, forget these people. No, thank you. Hallelujah. No. Had he ever seen rain? No. Thank you. Had he ever seen a flood? No. Did he know how to build an ark? No. God had to lay all those instructions out for him. But you know what happened? Noah believed in things he had never seen, and not only that, that he had never heard of. I'm going to destroy the world, Noah, but you're going to build an ark for the saving of your family. An ark, okay. You got any more information on that? An ark. Do you understand? You're talking about faith. That's incredible faith. Listen, his faith, the same as ours, the just shall live by faith. Noah's faith was on God's word to him. Boy, you better get this morning. I'm telling you, listen, it wasn't based on what he could see at all. And he was convicted by what God told him, and he did something. He acted upon the word of God. That is faith, loved one. That's faith. And look at Hebrews 11:24. Look what Moses did by faith. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he was going to be the next Pharaoh. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And watch this. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he, meaning Moses, look what he did. He looked to the reward. Could he see the reward? No. He looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He renounced it, all of it. Not fearing the wrath of the king, and look what he did. For Moses endured, he made it. He kept going. He did what he did as seeing him, God, who is invisible. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you what faith does. True Bible faith sees what other people do not see. Do you understand? It sees into the realm by faith. Do I see it? No, but I believe it. And believing it means you see it. Does that make sense? And boy, that's what's happened. He made that choice. He said, what I see is temporary. Am I going to live for that? Or am I going to live for what's eternal, what I don't see? That's what he did. And he did. Would he have missed his destiny if he lived for the temporary? Yes. And so will we. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances or even in spite of the consequences. No matter if it cost us, God said it, we're going to do it. Does that make sense? The just shall live by faith. There is no other way for a Christian to live. Verse 2, for by it, meaning faith, the elders obtain a good testimony, or a good testimony in the eyes of God, because they believe God. Now, these elders here, the Old Testament saints, they are in Hebrews, I think it's 12:1, tells us that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and we're going to learn about those witnesses in chapter 11. In Hebrews 6:12, you know, Paul told the Jewish believers, says, listen, imitate those who faith inherit the promises. And that's what we're to do as well. Now, this very, very well-known scripture, I know you know it, verse 3, let's look at it. It says, by faith we, the Jewish believers of that day, us as well, the writer, by faith we understand the worlds were framed, set in motion, by the word of God, so that the things which are what? Seen, the visible universe, were not made of things which are visible. The word worlds there in the Greek is aion, which just literally means the ages, okay? Everything in time, everything in matter, everything in space. Jesus is the creator of all things, amen? He's the agent of creation. Amen? Amen. The Bible shows us that. Now, with all that being said, creation, when it says made the worlds, God made everything in creation that's needed in creation, if we could put it like that. And so the universe, God's universe, you know, does God own the universe? Yes. You know, I mean, think about, when I think of all the smart people, the brilliant scientists, they're smart. I mean, I'm not a very smart man, okay? But I mean, when I see people like Einstein and, you know, or I don't know anybody else, but smart people, brilliant people. But they don't believe in the divine fact that God made all things, that God created the world. And I think Christians get puffed up about that. You know, but here's the deal. You, me, would have known how the world was made unless God told us? We have His Word. Is that right? Boy, we don't need to take that for granted. We need to say we have a God that loves us, and we know that we're not from a bunch of monkeys. Do you understand? We know everything that God made. We're made in the image of God, and God made all things, loved one. Look at it again. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Things that were seen, or the things that are seen, were not made of things which are visible. Question. To believe that the universe exists, that there is an earth, a sun, moon, stars, whatever, galaxies, does that take faith? It doesn't take any faith. The sun was in my eyes on the way in this morning. So it doesn't take faith to believe that at all. It doesn't require faith. But to believe that God called everything into existence that had no existence, that takes faith. Do you understand? I mean, listen to me. We live on a planet right now, spoken into existence. Remember when I taught on that in chapter 1? I mean, spoken into existence. I'm going to tell you something. That takes faith, doesn't it? You better believe it does. Listen, but we live on a planet spoken into existence from nothing. Nothing. Somebody tell me, what is nothing? I mean, nothing. Look that up in the dictionary. You know what it means? Nothing. There's nothing. You see right there? There's nothing. There was nothing. Does that blow you away? Man, but see, we know how God did it because God told us how He did it. It says God spoke. Amen? He just simply spoke His word. There was nothing until God said. Does that make sense? The Bible says in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Psalm 33:9, for God spoke, it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. I love what Spurgeon said. He says, creation was the fruit of a word, God's word. Light be, light was. Try that next time you're bored. Do you understand? Oh, listen. So we understand that the worlds, look at it now. How was it happen? It says they were framed by the word of God. And this is what I want to talk to you about. The just shall live by faith. I want you to listen now. Very, very important. They were framed by the word of God. That word, the word there in the Greek is not logos. This is the logos of God. Does that make sense? This is the written word of God, okay? The word there, it says when he spoke it into existence, it is the word rhema. Rhema in the Greek literally means this, utterance or divine utterance, or God speaking, a spoken word, and so forth. So God just, rhema is that living word. Think of the power of God's rhema. Does that make sense? So you know, for example, sometimes in a service, people will come up to me and say, Bill, when that scripture you were speaking to me, it just came alive. Man, thank you. I said, no, I didn't make it alive. See, Logos, when I'm teaching the Logos, amen? Okay. But what happens is the Holy Spirit takes the Logos, the written word of God, and when you believe it and you're convicted of it, the Holy Spirit makes it alive in your heart. Does that make sense? And it becomes the rhema of God, the living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, if you will. So rhema is the spoken word of God. It's divine utterance. It's God just said it. It's the sayings of God. A scripture I'm going to repeat many times today. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Say that word, hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, the rhema, not logos, the rhema of God, the sayings of God. Loved one, listen, that is so important. Listen, faith does not come by just anything. Faith doesn't come by hearing anything. Faith only comes one way to the believer. Only one way, and that is by hearing, and by hearing the rhema or the spoken word of God. Does that make sense? Loved one, listen. It has to do with the ear. Is that where you hear? Very, very important. I'm going to tell you something about today. The whole time, you know, I didn't prepare at all when I was gone, except for the sermon I preached in Amarillo. I just prayed. I just wrote down notes. God, where are we going? And I want to tell you, this is what, I'm not trying to depress you, but this is from what I believe with all my heart. I believe that the hour is urgent. I believe that the day is urgent. And I believe that the church, especially us, we're not responsible for everybody else, but we better wake up. See, what did Paul say in Romans 13, 11, 12? He said this, and do this, knowing the time that now, that word means it's urgent, right this very minute. He says, it's high time, meaning the hour is critical, okay? It's high time. The hour has arrived for all Christians then and all Christians right now. Here it comes, he says, to awake out of sleep. That's not speaking of being in your lazy boy, like I go after the service and I'm out, okay? No, it's talking about, that's a condition of a Christian. It means that that person is out cold. They're unconscious to the things of God. The word of God, it's inactive to the things of God. They're untouched by God's truth, even though they hear it. Are y'all with me? He says, to awake out of sleep, for right now our salvation, meaning when Jesus takes us home, our future glorification, when we see him, we'll be like him. When our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, the night is far spent, meaning the time is nearly over. The day is at hand, meaning opportunity is so brief. He says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. The day is urgent. Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Ephesus and us as well, in Ephesians 5:15, he gives a command. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means with exactness. Every day, walk your lifestyle, every day in this world, that you walk carefully with exactness. And he tells us why we're to do that, or how to do that we're to do that. We're not to do it as fools, but we're to do it as people that are wise, redeeming the time, buying up every opportunity, it says. And then he tells us why, walk carefully. He says, for the days are evil. Not months are evil. Not years are evil. Every day is evil. Every day in our world that we live in right now. This world is evil. Our nation is in trouble. Every day it gets darker and darker and darker. But you know what? It's okay because our redemption draweth nigh. But loved one, listen to me. We're to live, man, carefully. And then he goes on, he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, here's the will of the Lord. The just shall live by faith. There's no other way for you to live. If you are a Christian, you can't live any other way. If you live any other way than by faith, you are not pleasing God. Amen? Doesn't this make you feel good? Yeah, and that's, loved one, that's the word of God. Listen, Hebrews 11:1 is fuel for revolution. Are we in revolution? I hope we are. Are we? Are we all really in? Come on. Oh, listen. Hebrews 11:1 is fuel for revolution, and it's all by faith, loved one. Four times in the Bible, it says the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, for it is impossible. It's not difficult. It is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to him must believe, that means faith, must believe that he is, he exists, he's real. And that he is something else, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Paul writes to the church at Rome in Romans 14:23, and he says this, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Sin. Why? The just shall live by faith. Loved one, the church in America, we are facing the darkest times in the history of the church in this nation right now. You see the things that happen. And I say, oh God, what are we going to do? Well, faith is the only answer for revolution. Again, the just shall live by faith. They believe the promises of God. They believe the word of God. They know God cannot lie. There are 161 days left in 2023. If you believe that normal is coming back, you're wrong. Normal will never return again. Never. That's why we have to be in revolution. Loved one, normal will never return, but Jesus is. Amen. Jesus is coming back. Listen, the old America, and I'm old enough to know what I'm talking about. The old America is gone. It's not the same anymore, and it will never be the same again because the culture is so dark, and it's getting darker and darker and darker and darker. You remember, I went back and I looked at the New Year's sermon in 2022 about revolution, you know, 2022 to 2024, and I caught onto a phrase where I said this. I said, what will we, the Christian, the church, what will we do when the American dream becomes the American nightmare? What are we going to do? Well, let me tell you, we're already in the nightmare. Do you understand? We're seeing changes every day that we have never seen in the history of this nation or the world, the things that are happening. Do you understand? Alexander Solzhenitsyn said this, the generation that is now coming out of Western schools is unable to distinguish good from bad. Even those words, he says, are now unacceptable. Well, we live in a world right now that this word is, you don't say that, you can't say, are you following me? Oh, the craziness. Did you know that nearly half of all millennials think that, and this is a new word I just learned, misgendering should be a crime. misgendering. Let me give you the poll. It says, a poll conducted by Redfield and Wilton Strategies for Newsweek magazine, July 6th, just a little bit ago, found 44% of millennials believe that referring to someone by the wrong gender pronoun, he, him, she, he, whatever, should be a criminal offense. Did you hear what I just said? Should be a criminal offense. Do you see what we're living in right now? Do you see the confusion that's in this world? Do you see how darkness is taking captivity captive? And not, are you listening to me? Oh, loved one, listen to me. The world, I hear it. It is screaming. Conformed. You be conformed or else. I'll destroy your business. I'll destroy this. I'll picket you. I don't give a what they do. No. I'm not of this world. You're not of this world. We have overcome this world. Amen. And they are not going to tell me what to do. No one but God. And the church better wake up. We're not going to practice tolerance when it comes to God's truth. You're either male or you're a female. Don't mess with me. No, I love people. Now listen to me. I love people, but I love God's word because it's the only truth we have. There's no truth in our land anymore. The just shall live by faith. By faith. And we are the people that we are not conformed to this world. The world doesn't fashion us, squeeze us into its mold. We're not conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind to God's truth. Amen. We know the truth. And Jesus said, when you know it, it'll set you free, loved one. Listen. Listen very carefully now. Now, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the rhema, the spoken word. Now, listen very carefully. I believe with all my heart that the ear is God's portal for the believer. Do you understand? It's the portal that God uses. Rhema, remember, is that spoken word, the divine utterance. You go back to Genesis chapter 1, you're going to find out that God said, God spoke. He did so 10 times. Go to the book of Revelation, and Jesus says 8 times, he says, he who has ear to hear, let him hear. You go to Mark chapter 4 and study out the parable of the sower. And you see that they heard the word of God, but this is what happened to them. This one heard the word of God, but you know, the devil came and snatched it out of the heart. Remember? It's about hearing. God's, listen, the ear is the portal that God uses. When you hear God's word, that's, you get saved. Do you understand? God's word, it changes who we are. Jesus said in 11:15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:24, Jesus said, take heed what you hear, for the things that you hear, and the measure you use them, it'll be measured back to you. We are living in the last days. Paul the apostle told us what was going to happen by the Spirit of God in the last days. In 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, a time will come when they, meaning people in the church, they will not endure sound doctrine, meaning healthy teaching. It says, he says, no, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Ears. They will heap up teachers for themselves to scratch those ears, and they'll be turned away from the truth and turned to fables. It wasn't long ago, and I don't remember when I told you that the church can be the most dangerous place on earth for the believer. You say, Bill, what? Because Christians, many, many Christians, they sit in the pew year after year after year after year after year, and they hear sermon after sermon after sermon. They hear the word of God over and over and over and over, but they never apply it. They never do it. Remember what I said a year ago, whatever it was? I doubt if I can even remember. I said the hardness in the church today, and there is hardness in the church today, it does not come from hearing God's truth. It comes from not doing the truth they hear. Do you understand? That's where we are, loved one. That's where we are right this very, very minute. Listen, hearing is not enough, is it? Okay, God speaks it. Hearing is not enough. We must do something with what we hear. Amen? James 1:22 says this, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, comma, deceiving yourselves." To hear the word of God, the living word of God, and call yourself a Christian. Now listen, to hear it and then not do it. I don't have to forgive. I don't have to do that. No. I don't have to serve. To hear God's word and not do God's word. Hear and do. It says you're deceiving your own self. You're deceiving your own self. What does that mean? It means that God's holy word, the breath of God, the logos of God, the rhema of God, whatever, has absolutely no effect on your hearing. None. And that, loved one, is a dangerous place to be in life. Jesus talked a lot about the ear and hearing. He said in Luke 6:46, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things I say? You heard me. Why do you not do them?" Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, listen, how does a man live? He doesn't live by bread alone. Man lives by every word, rhema, that's rhema, not logos, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? Oh, listen, what did Jesus tell us? He said in Matthew 7:24, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, he who hears my word, my sayings, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock." The rock are the sayings of Jesus, okay? On the rock. And the winds came and the floods came and boy, it was horrible. And that house, it didn't fall. Now the winds and the rain and the floods, that's talking about the circumstances in life. Amen? And he says, "But he who hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, I will liken him unto an unwise man who built his life on sand." And the same thing came into his life, the floods and all the circumstances of life. And it destroyed his life, his home. Does that make sense? Jesus said, "And great was its fall." Now listen to me. You cannot, you better listen to me now. I don't know what's coming, but I do know this. You cannot build your life in the storm. You build your life on the rock before the storm comes. Amen? Now listen, if you read Matthew 7:24 and following, here's what you're going to find. Only those who heard what Jesus said in the ear, heard it and did it, are the ones who had the victory. Does that make sense? It didn't. The circumstances come. That's not easy. The trials in life and the circumstances, it's hard. It blows against us, okay? But Jesus said, you're not going to fall. Because you believe the word of God. See, the just shall live by faith. There's no other way that you can live and survive on this planet. Now, the ear is the portal God uses, but I believe that the eye is the portal that the devil uses, okay? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 again, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight, okay? Faith and not sight. Now, remember the story of the serpent and Eve? It says in Genesis chapter 3 and 5 and following, remember it says, you know, the devil says, oh, you can eat that fruit, Eve, the day that you're not going to die if you eat it. And he says, for God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes, not your ears, your eyes will be open. He says, oh, and you're going to be just like God. You're going to know good and evil. And then the woman saw, use the eye, saw that the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to her eyes, desirable, oh, to make one wise. She took the fruit, ate. She gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. You understand? He always goes for the eyes. In our life, too, what we can see. Always, how are we going to how are we going to make it? How are we going to pay this? How are we going to, oh, look what's happened. Do you follow me? We set our eyes on circumstances. Circumstances in Latin means the things that surround you in this life. Loved one, listen. Our eye is not on circumstances. Our eye is on God's word. Amen? Now, remember that God, he brought, what, a million plus people, plus women, children, out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, remember? And he gave them these promises, you know, that they were going to go into the promised land and all of this. And listen, how many of the first generation went into the promised land? Two, Joshua and Caleb. Why? Faith. They lived by faith. The just shall live by faith. Remember the 12 spies of whom Caleb and Joshua, they were two of the 12. And the 10 spies, the other ones, they spied out the land. They came back when Joshua, Caleb came back with them. They spied them out for 40 days. And you know what they said in Numbers? It said this, the 10 spies, oh, I tell you what, this land, it is truly flowing with milk and honey, just like God said. And then they said in Numbers 13, 28, nevertheless, oh, the people who dwell there, they're strong. That word means they're mean. They're fierce people. He says, oh, their cities, they're fortified. Man, they got walls and all the rest, everything to protect them. And they're well fortified. They're very large. And we even saw the descendants of Anak there, meaning we saw those giants. Now, listen to me. They walk by sight. Now, here's the facts. Were giants in the land? Yes. Were the cities well fortified? Yes, those are all facts. Were the people strong? Yes, that is a fact. But what they saw all of that with the eye. And then it says, then Caleb, I love this, he quieted the people before Moses and said, oh, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. That's revolution talk. That's the just shall live by faith talk. Do you understand? He said that because God said, the land, I'm giving it unto you. Do you understand? Whatever God gives us, we appropriate it by faith. The just shall live by faith. And he says, oh, but the men who'd gone up said, oh, we're not able. We can't go against this people. He says, oh, no, this land, these people, they devour its inhabitants. And all the people we saw, they're men of great strength. The giants, they're big, they're huge. And we were like grasshoppers or insects in their sight. And so were we in their sight. In other words, they walked by sight. They did not walk by faith. Now listen, Caleb, did Caleb see the same thing with his eyes? He was one of the spies that they saw. Well, why didn't he see them the same way? Faith. Faith. Listen to me. Caleb saw with the eyes of faith. No, see, God's promises. He said, we're able and we're able. Now listen carefully. Here's a fact. Did the first generation, the Exodus generation, did they enter into the promised land? No. Did they miss their destiny? Yes. Did they miss the plan that God had for them? Yes. And so will we if we do not live by faith. The just, there's only one way we can live, and the just shall live by faith. We've got to be careful with the eyes, loved one. We're all guilty. Listen, remember in the early church in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Ananias and Sapphira, you know, everybody was selling land and bringing the money and laying it at the apostles' feet and all of that. And here comes Ananias, and he lays this money, and then Peter goes, wow, Ananias, how is it that you decided to test the Holy Spirit? Why is it that you decided to lie to the Holy Spirit? He said, in other words, he didn't give all the money, did he? He only gave part of the money, held it back. Why? You know why? And then, of course, they both died. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. They both fell over dead, didn't they? Why? Because of the eye. They trusted in what could be seen instead of what was unseen. Does that make sense? Materialism is a god in this nation today. Boy, we've got to be so careful. See, the eye will always pull you away, loved one. It'll always do that. And we can't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Listen, we don't have to worry. All things are already ours. We're co-heirs with Christ. He's going to take care of you. He knows what you need even before you ask. Hello? Faith. You believe in the promises of God. What did the apostle of love, what did he write? He said in 1 John 2:15 through 17, he says, do not love the world, do not love the things in the world, meaning the world that is against God. And he goes on and he says, for everything in the world is not of the Father. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And then he says, the lust of the eyes. The eyes, I want that. The lust of the eyes. He says, but this world is going to pass away and the lust therein. But he who doeth the will of God, and here's the will of God, the just shall live by faith. He who doeth the will of God will abide forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen to me. There will be no revolution in this church with what's coming. And I don't know what's coming. I had a young lady when I was in Amarillo write me a beautiful email and said, Bill, are we in revolution? Are we going to cross the Jordan? Have we crossed the Jordan? And I said, she says, are we all going? And I said, I don't think everybody's going, but I'm going. I said, I don't know what revolution is. I just know that was the word. I said, and I told her, I said, I can't define it because only God can do that. Amen. And he said, and I can only declare what God spoke to my heart. And I believe it with all my heart. And we can see the disintegration of our society happening right before our eyes. Kids are killing kids. Drugs. There's so much. I could tell you stories right now, but I'm not going to do that. There's so much. I don't know what's happening to me. I think it's because I'm getting old. But I'm getting angry at these drug pushers. No. I mean, where I want, I know I can't beat anybody up anymore. But I want to beat them up. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of what they're doing to children. I'm sick of little girls being raped. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of a society that is so sick they think they can tell us what to do and they don't even know the truth. I tell you, I am burnt out with it, man. And say, well, Bill, go into counseling. Listen, there'll be no revolution, I told in that email I emailed back, unless we hear and do. It won't work. We're just going to be waiting to see what happens. And then when the storm blows in, what do? Well, then we're going to have to live by faith whether you like it or not. Do you understand? No, listen. The ear is a portal that God uses. Hebrews, remember how we studied out Hebrews, what was it? 3:7. It's where it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth says. Do you know 59 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the New Testament? 39 times the Holy Spirit is speaking. Isn't that interesting? So it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, not tomorrow. Today is an urgent word. Right this minute. Today, if you hear his voice, the power of right now, if you hear his voice, do what he says, loved one. Remember Hebrews 1:12? It says, God in these last days has spoken by his Son. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, when Jesus, they're on the mount with James and Peter and John, and the transfiguration took place and so forth, and they beheld his glory and all of that, there was a voice that came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And what did he say? Listen to him. Are we listening to Jesus? Are we really listening, loved one? Oh, gosh, listen to me. I think, oh, Lord, it says in John 10:27, are we hearing? He says, Jesus said, my sheep. They hear my voice. They hear me. I know them. I have an intimate relationship with them. And they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And no one will ever be able to snatch them out of my hand. Jesus standing before Pilate in John 18:37, he says this, everyone who is of truth hears my voice. Do you hear his voice? Now listen. We need to hear his voice. Let me give you the revolution scripture when we started out in 2022. Listen to what Jesus said. Hear him right now. He says in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Let me give you the Williams translation. until this present moment, the kingdom of heaven has been continuously taken by storm, and those who take it by storm are seizing it as a precious prize. And we do that by faith. By faith. By faith. The just shall live by faith. If we went and read the rest of that in verse 15, you know what Jesus says? You ready for this? He says, "And he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Loved one, listen to me now. I say this with such love. And we have to stop pretending. We have to stop pretending that we believe, that we really believe the promises of God. We have to believe them, not pretend we believe them. We have to stop pretending that we're really following Jesus. We were singing a song earlier in the service. You know, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever." Wherever. Uh-huh. Come on. Let's be real. Let's not be a bunch of hypocrites, right? Jesus said, "You really want to come after me?" Luke 9:23. "You want to come after me? Then disown yourself. I'm your boss. I'm your master. I'm your Lord. Deny yourself. I'm your boss now. You go where I tell you to go." He says, "Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. And now follow me." Amen. We have to stop pretending that we're praying and pretending that I really serve the Lord. The church has to stop. We can no longer pretend, loved one, that we're living sacrifices if we're not. We can no longer pretend to be filled with the Spirit unless we're really walking in the Spirit. We can no longer pretend to say, "I love God with all of my heart, soul, strength, and my neighbor as myself," when we don't. We have to stop pretending. The day is fast approaching. If you study out the long discourse in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, when the disciples ask, "When will all these things happen? The temple's going to be destroyed, and you're going to come back, and the end times. When are these things going to happen?" Jesus gets down in Matthew 24, I think it begins, I don't know, verse 32, somewhere in there, and he talks about the fig tree. And he says, you know, whenever you see the fig tree blossom, the fig tree represents Israel, meaning the nation of Israel. Now, it was about to be destroyed. He says, the generation that sees that, they'll know what's happening. Now, that generation wasn't speaking of that generation, because that generation is gone, about Jesus returning. Amen? When they see the generation that sees what? When Israel is a nation again. May 14th, 1948, did Israel become a nation? Yes. No other nation on earth has never happened. Never. God calling them from all parts of the world. Now listen, that was 1948. If you go to Psalm about a generation, and I'm in the generation here. Okay, now watch. Moses said in Psalm 90, he says that we're nothing but just a vapor. We're here for a little while. We drift away. And by reason of strength, we live maybe 70 years or, you know, maybe 80. Well, if 70 is a generation, or even if 80 is a generation, if you take from 1948 and you put, just say 75 years, and I am of the boomer generation. Does that make sense? The meaning I'm alive right now. Do you know what year that would be? That would be 2024. Hello. Now, Bill, are you given a year and a time? Of course not. I'm just saying, I don't know. Are you following me? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, you can start looking up your head, because I truly believe our redemption is drawing nigh. We need to be so ready. But listen, we're not going to do a thing if we don't believe Hebrews 11:6. If we don't really believe that without faith it is impossible to please God, if we don't believe that, we will never, ever, ever do Hebrews 10:38 or Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And we will never believe Ephesians 3:20, you know, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is working in us. We won't believe that. No, and I'll tell you what else we won't believe. We won't believe the words of Jesus. Let me read them to you in John 14:12. Most assuredly, that's amen and amen. Boy, that's a good word. Most assuredly, immutable, unchangeable, it is certain. I say to you, He who believes in me. Do you believe in Jesus? Okay, that's faith. Now faith is. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Because I go to my Father. Do you believe that? I mean, the just can only live one way, loved one. The just shall live by faith. So then, Romans 10, 17. So faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Did you hear? Did you hear the Word of God? Did you hear the Word of God this morning? Here is the word that God wants this church to hear. The just, God says, the one, my just ones, the ones I have saved through my Son, the just shall live by faith. There is no other way for us to live. God will never let you down. God cannot lie. Every word of God is true. Circumstances do not rule our life. Faith rules our life. Does that make sense? We have to stand upon the living Word of God. Loved one, let me just, can I have one, give you one more scripture? Yes. Well, never mind, I'll tell them. Whenever Thomas, he wasn't in the upper room, remember, with the other disciples when they saw Jesus. And they told Thomas all about it. And what did Thomas say? He says, unless I see the nail prints in his hand and put my finger in his side, I'm not going to believe. You boys believe what you want, but I'm not going to believe. And then what happened? A few days later, of course, they're on the upper room together. And here comes Jesus, just kind of pops into the room, the resurrected Savior. He says, Thomas, don't be faithless. Be believing. What does that mean? The just shall live by faith. He says, you've believed in me because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed. Father, thank you. Thank you. I pray that the word, the just shall live by faith, did not fall on deaf ears this morning. Only you can make this happen. Only you can move us into places that we need to go. Lord, we don't want to miss our destiny. We don't want to miss. We want to live the adventure with you. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this word. And Lord, this morning, there may be someone here listening live or in the chapel that Jesus Christ is not their Lord. Now, they say Jesus is their Lord, but they don't live for him. They don't walk with him. They don't serve him. And if that's you, guess what? You can be changed right now. God loves you. He wants you. He sent his Son to die for you. You can get right, right now. And you don't even have to get out of your chair. All you have to do by faith is lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Just lift it high and put it right back down. Anyone, God bless you. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. I see that. Anyone else? Just like in the early service. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Quickly. Oh, God bless you. That's right. Yes, God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I see that. Yes, I see. Thank you, Lord. Those that lifted your hands, anyone else before I pray, before I close? Those that lifted your hands, those that lifted your hands listening live right now too, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, I want you to help me. Say, Father, today I heard your voice. I heard your voice. And now I'm going to obey. The just shall live by faith. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, Father, you raised him from the dead. You are the God who cannot lie. And you promised, if I would ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe in Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise the Lord. You that lifted your hands, listen carefully now. We're gonna close with a song. When the song is over, you can come to the altar here. Please make room for them that are praying. Amen. And they have a booklet entitled, Welcome to the Family of God. It's totally free. They're not going to get your name, your address, any of those things. Take that book. You who are listening live, just email me if you prayed that prayer at info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address. That book will be mailed out to you first thing in the morning. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, over in the main lobby, there's a welcome center. They have a free gift to Hawaii. No. They have a free gift for you. They want you to pick it up. They'd love to meet you as well. Isn't God good? Amen. God is good. Now you see, God's word, Logos, became Rhema. The Holy Spirit made it alive. Amen. You just witnessed that this morning. God is so good. The just shall live by faith. There's no other way. Let's sing to him, shall we? God is so good.
God is so good.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is so good.
He's so good to me, and I love him so. I love him so. Thank you, Jesus.
I love
him so. He's so good to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name.